For tape, CDs, DVDs, to our publication, Voices from His Excellent Glory, Declaring the Kingdom, write P.O. Box 21516, Hot Springs, Arkansas, zip 71903. Our website is www.LakeHamiltonBibleCamp.com and LHBCOnline.com. There are many hundreds of free audio files there. It's like going to Bible school at home.
Thursday evening, December the 28th, 1989. Midwinter Family Camp Meeting being held at Lake Hamilton Bible Campgrounds, Hot Springs National Park, Arkansas. Ray McCollum is the speaker of the evening. This is tape one of two tapes of the evening service.
The presence of the Lord has gripped thy heart. For I am with thee, saith the Lord, and I will take thee. Yea, the authority of my peace shall be upon you. So be of good cheer. The Holy Ghost is writing a new chapter upon the hearts of my people. Yea, I say unto thee that your efficiency is of me, and the glory of my word shall go forth, and I will grip thy heart. And this is the week that I have chosen to lay upon my people, yea, the revelations and the vision of my authority. So rise up, my love, my fair one, for I will give thee the key of knowledge, and my peace shall be upon you. I'm going to begin to rebuke all the tradition that have kept my people from entering in to the key of knowledge. So loose the anointing, the knowledge that is from above. My authority shall move upon you, and I will bless thee, and the Holy Ghost shall is writing upon thy heart, even now. So allow thy spirit to be quickened, for thy mind, yea, will be melted and molded into the glories of the Lord. And you shall pull down the strongholds and the vain imaginations. You shall walk on with the authority of my word. So rise up, my love. Yea, the Lord is preparing his people, loosening the holy priesthood and the royal priesthood. For this is your finest hour, and we will walk together, and Mount Zion shall be released among my people, and praise and great authority, the high callings of the Lord are at hand. Hallelujah.
Oh, bless the Lord.
Praise the Lord. There's an anointing here that I want us to take our right hand and release. I've heard this in many meetings, and now it's sort of culminating this prophetic church authority that God is giving us. Brother Boland really brought that out, and Brother Jack and others, we just sense that, and we're talking, I guess, I hope the other men know what they're saying, but I think it's a whole new ballgame. God's revealing. I mean, we know in part at this point. But I believe we should put our right hand on the forehead and release the prophetic anointing upon the church. And there's revelation and there's vision. So, Father, in the name of Jesus, we put our right hand. We thank you, Lord, for Ezekiel chapter 1, that you said, Ezekiel, I have sealed thy forehead. Now seal our foreheads with the prophetic authority of the church. We loose the prophetic church. In the name of Jesus, the authority of the kingly and the glory, hallelujah, of the anointing you've given. Now, Father, release. I loose my brother, loose my sister, and Lord, we thank you for the seal of the Holy Ghost upon every forehead, and the prophetic church anointing shall bring it to pass in every area, loose throughout the world, the anointing on the foreheads, so that other foreheads will not rob us of the vision for the 90s. Hallelujah. Let's praise him. Glory to God. I lift my hands to the coming King, to the great I Am. To thee I sing, for you're the one who reigns within my heart. and I will serve no foreign gods, nor any other treasure, for you are my heart's desire, the spirit without measure. Come to thee, I will bring my sacrifice, and I will serve no foreign gods, nor any other treasure. You're my heart's desire. You are my heart's desire. The spirit without measure. The spirit without measure. Unto thee. Unto thee. Will I bring? Will I bring my sacrifice? Do it again. I lift my to the coming King, to the great I Am, to Thee I sing, for You're the One who reigns within my heart, and I serve no foreign gods, nor any other treasure. You are my heart's desire. You are my heart's desire. The spirit without measure. Unto thee will I bring, unto thee will I bring my sacrifice, and unto thee will I bring my sacrifice. One more time, I'll serve no other foreign gods, and I will serve no foreign gods, nor any other treasure, nor any other treasure. You're my heart's desire. You are my heart's desire. The spirit without measure. Spirit with the measure. Unto thee will I bring my sacrifice. Unto thee will I bring my sacrifice.
Hallelujah, hallelujah. Bless the Lord.
Hallelujah, hallelujah. Hallelujah, Lord. Hear, O house of the Lord, I shall tell thee, yea, what shall come to pass in your life in the near future, saith the Lord. Yea, you shall find that your gatherings are less and less oriented toward tradition. You shall not gather around personality any further. You shall not gather around minutes and bylaws. But my people shall gather together unto me, and I will always be in the midst of thee, saith the Lord thou God. Yea, for the trumpet must sound, the gathering is unto the Lord. Gather those together that would be my disciples. Yea, know that the first principle of a disciple is self-denial. Yea, I tell you now, my people, that I shall have many followers, but I have few disciples, saith the Lord.
For yea, if he be only a follower, you are still double-minded and in transition between two decisions. But when you are disciplined by the Spirit of the Almighty, you will follow me, and the voice of a stranger you will not follow, saith the Lord thou God. Yea, know that it is important, it is necessary, that I have a people that have gathered themselves unreservedly unto me. For I tell you now that I shall make a great people out of you. Yea, I shall raise up a people that shall bind the strong man of the house, yea, and you shall destroy his ministry. For he come only but to kill, to steal, and destroy. But I tell you this, I am come that you might have life, and that more abundant, saith the Lord thou God. Yea, I shall minister my abundant life through my many-membered cooperative body of sons, saith the Lord thou God. Great is the destiny that awaits you. Yea, you don't have to settle for second best or anything beyond that. But I'll give you the first best, saith the Lord. I tell you this, that I have never purposed to do you harm, saith the Lord, but always my intent is to do you good. For I know that the Lord giveth good things, and he withholds no good thing from them that were there in the land of the living to walk upright before him. I tell you, my people, that you will be a light like a city that is built on an hill. You cannot be hid. Yea, for I shall unveil thy ministry. Thou shalt go forth in mighty majesty, saith the Lord thou God. Yea, it shall be my glory that is radiating through you. And I tell you now that personality will have very little place in this ministry. Yea, it shall not be a thing of personality or bylaws or traditions, but it shall be a sovereign move of God that you have matched with just a little human initiative. And I tell you that great things can be accomplished in the land of the living. Do not give up now. Let not the thought of quitting enter into your mind, for I have brought you too far. Yea, I have invested too much and too many in you, saith the Lord thou God. Yea, I remember where it was that I reached back and got you from, and where I have brought you to. And you will have to say within your spirit that it has been a good walk with God. Yea, for the Lord thou God hath directed thee this far, and I shall direct thee from now until then, saith the Lord thou God. Though the ways of life may be uneven as thou doth trod the trail toward Zion, but you can know this one thing, that the Lord thou God shall go before you, and when thou crossest over the waters, thou shalt not be overwhelmed by them. You shall not go under, but you shall go over, and when thou passest through the fire, it shall not consume thee, neither shall it kindle a flame upon thee. Yea, for I tell you now that it'll find nothing in you that it can relate to, for I am removing the you, yea, and I am replacing that with the me, saith the Lord thou God. It is no longer I, it is no longer we, but now it is he, saith the Lord thou God, because you have made the transitions, or you in the process of making the transitions that will remove you from the 30-fold, from the 60-fold. Promote you to the 100-fold, saith the Lord thou God, and thou shalt stand before me in the beauty of holiness, yea, that begins as deep calls unto deep, and radiates from deep within, and divides itself from great without, saith the Lord thou God. I tell you, you will be a ministry wherever you go, and whenever you stand, yea, without saying a word, I make you ministry, saith the Lord. I shall make you a witness unto me that shall not be quenched. I shall light a fire in your spirit that can't be put out, saith the Lord thou God. Yea, and you shall declare the word of the Lord. Yea, and the word of the Lord shall multiply greatly in the land of the living. I tell you that my people are not destined to defeat. Yea, you are not the children of darkness, but you are the children of light. Yea, and in this thou must live and move and have your being. Yea, and the Lord of glory shall smile upon your progress, saith the Lord. Yea, only do not draw back, for the Lord taketh not pleasure in them that draw back. Yea, but he pleasureth himself with the people that he can give the kingdom to. I tell you now, you would be foolish to assume that things will continue as they are for another long time, for it shall not be so. Change has come, and change shall continue to come, and there is no power in earth or anywhere else that can stop the change, saith the Lord thou God. You as my people need to be changed. Yea, it is change after change after change. Yea, and I tell you, do not resist, for many transitions await you. Yea, but all of them shall be joyous, and know that with each one of them, yea, that you shall be made stronger. Yea, for great is the ministry, yea, of eradication, that lieth just beyond. Yea, I tell you now that I have been unveiling myself in you, in your house. Yea, and soon I shall unveil the house. Yea, and my sons shall come forth as the first fruits, the order of the first fruits, and it will be a guarantee, yea, a God-given guarantee, that there is an abundance of harvest just waiting to be plucked, saith the Lord thou God. Yea, and I shall bring many sons to glory, and in the great harvest shall be many more just like them, saith the Lord thou God. Yea, I tell you now that your aim should be to make every desperate move toward achieving this lofty calling. It is lofty indeed, but it is not too lofty for the Lord. Know that you must go in the power of my might, and each gathering must be unto me, saith the Lord thou God. Oh, blessed be the Lord. Yea, be not weary in well-doing, for in due season, yea, I shall give you an abundant harvest, saith the Lord thou God. Yea, an abundant anointing rest upon thee now. Yea, I tell you, the releasing is, it has rest on thee and in thee for a long time, but never has it been released like it's going to be released now, saith the Lord thou God. Yea, from this day forward, thou can expect a greater releasing than you've ever had, for I am enlarging you even now, saith the Lord thou God. I am enlarging your capacity for understanding, for receiving, yea, and for retaining, yea, and for ministering out, saith the Lord. Hear me now, Patty, for you cannot cry quietly enough that I cannot hear you from the uttermost parts of the earth. Yea, my eyes are not so dim that I cannot see your plight from the furthest position, saith the Lord, thou God. Neither hath mine ear grown dull that I cannot hear the faintest cry. And my heart heareth your heart cry out tonight. Yea, and I tell you now that I am beginning right now to give you the desire of your heart. You shall be changed. You are being changed. You are changed. Yea, and the desire of your heart shall come. Yea, for I shall place you where no opposition stand against you, saith the Lord thou God. Everything that is formed against you, every weapon that is formed against you, will be destroyed, and you will stand in the might and the beauty of the holiness of the Lord. For the Lord hath declared it, and let him that would withstand the Lord speak now or forever hold their peace. I tell you now that there is no one that can gainsay what the Lord doth say. Yea, believe. Thou dost believe. Yea, I see that you believe. Oh, blessed be the Lord. Believe and blossom. Yea, hallelujah. For a time of deliverance. Yea, a time of releasing has come. Hallelujah. My God, and God has focused. He's brought the whole spread of the beam and made one focus, and he's focused right on you right now. Hallelujah. Oh, blessed be God. He's pouring into you ministry that you've not had before. I tell you, expect great things is going to happen in your life. For I have declared it, saith the Lord. Oh, blessed be God. Hallelujah. 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 Oh, praise the Lord.
My Lord, the Lord says that I see the hungering in your heart. And I hear the cry, yea, and I know the plight. Yes, I know you better than you know yourself. And I know your conditions and surroundings and circumstances better than you do. And I'm well able to handle them better than you, saith the Lord, thou God. I tell you now, just commit it to me. Cast all your cares upon me, because I care for you, saith the Lord, thou God. Yea, and I'll make the high places low and the crooked places straight. I'll minister to you in the wee hours of the night, and you will know that my presence is very near you. Yea, I tell you that I will do this, saith the Lord. Hallelujah. Oh, praise the Lord. When the Lord turned again the captivity of Zion, we were like them that dream. Then was our mouths filled with laughter and our tongues with singing. Then said they among the heathen, the Lord's done great things for them. Ah, the Lord hath done great things for us, whereof we are glad. Turn again our captivity, O Lord, as the streams of the south. He that soweth in tears shall reap in joy. He that goeth forth and weepeth, bearing precious seed, shall doubtless come again, rejoicing, bringing his sheaves with him. Oh, why do the heathen rage and the people imagine a vain thing, and the kings of the earth set themselves and the rulers take counsel together against the Lord, his anointed, saying, let us break his bands from us, let us cast his cords asunder. He that sitteth in the heavens shall laugh. He shall have them in derision. Then shall he speak to them in his wrath and vex them in his sore displeasure. Yet have I set my king in my holy hill of Zion. I will declare the decree the Lord hath said unto me. Thou art my son. This day have I begotten thee. Ask of me, and I'll give you the heathen for thine inheritance, and the uttermost parts of the earth for thy possession. Thou shalt rule them with a rod of iron. Dash them in pieces as a potter's vessel. Hear ye, kings, and be wise, you judges of the earth. Serve the Lord with fear, rejoice with trembling. Kiss the Son, lest he be angry with you, and you perish from the way when his wrath is kindled but a little. Blessed are all they that do put their trust in thee. Lord, how art they increased that trouble me? Many there be that rise up against me. Many there be that say of my soul, there's no help for him in God. But thou, Lord, art my shield and my buckler, and you're the lifter up of mine head. I cried unto the Lord with my voice, and he heard me out of his holy hill. I laid me down and slept, and I waked, for the Lord sustained me. I won't be 10,000 people gather themselves together against me. Rise up, O Lord. Save me, my God. Thou hast smitten all mine enemies upon the cheekbone. Thou hast broken the teeth of the ungodly. Salvation belongeth to thee, and thy blessings are upon all of your people. Thank you, Lord. Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord.
Well, Brother McCullough said a few words the other evening, but he's David Alsobrook's pastor. He pastors at Bethel Chapel in South Nashville, right?
Right.
Okay.
Right.
And he came over with David this week, and we need to pray for David. He's a very, very sick boy tonight, and we just rebuke that in him, and there are two or three others that have been touched with it.
Yes.
And we just rebuke that in the name of Jesus and David and in the others here.
Yes.
We curse that virus,
yes,
in the name of Jesus.
Jesus' name.
Speak,
yeah,
restoration into him,
yes,
into each one in Jesus' name.
Amen.
We loose the glory of the Lord to flow through Brother McCullough this evening as he,
yes,
ministers the word of the Lord tonight.
Thank you, Lord. Give the Lord a praise. Hallelujah. It's a real honor to be here with you and be sharing and getting to know some of these other men of God. I knew Brother Chuck, and I didn't know Brother Jack and Brother Bolin and the Moody's just by tape. And it's a thrill to be here and a privilege to have a portion to share with you from the Word of God. I've appreciated all the ministry, and it's just a blessing to be here. And appreciate the good spirit that's here, and that you came out to hear the word of the Lord. I have a message tonight of a prophetic nature. And I heard Brother Boland's message this morning was so good. We need to be circumspect when we're rejoicing about things in the news. There's some good things going on, and I don't hesitate to rejoice in those, but I appreciated his comments. We must always keep our guard up. There's a balance, of course. I think we need to be praying for our blessed president for wisdom. If I could send him a message, I'd send him a parable of an American hunter who went into the woods and met a Russian bear. And he had the drop on the bear. And the bear said, "All I want is a full stomach." The hunter said, "All I want is a fur coat." The bear said, "Well, don't shoot. Let's negotiate." And after a few minutes of negotiating, the bear had a full stomach and the hunter had a fur coat. It gets better the more you think about it. But somehow we've got to see in the 90s a restoration of integrity in the ministry of the Lord Jesus Christ, because we're not going to be able to continue to be effective if we've got to forever be trying to overcome the suspicions and the mistrust of the people of God. And we find ourselves as ministers, and I think maybe the other men would agree. Gordon MacDonald told a story of going to church one day, and he saw a skunk cross the road with his head stuck in a Hershey's cocoa box. He had gone after the chocolate in the bottom of the empty container, and as he went for it, of course, he put his head through the hole, but after he had gotten the last bit of chocolate, he couldn't get his head back out. And there he was, just bumping into things. And Brother MacDonald said, I had an intense desire to help him, but I wasn't quite sure how. And as a pastor, I think sometimes I see believers in that condition. I want to extricate them from their problem, but I'm not sure how to do it without getting sprayed. So, I'm believing that God is going to do some things in the 90s, and he's going to put us back on firm ground. I wish that I was as optimistic that the Lord is coming real soon as so many of my brethren seem to be. I hope they're right. And we have to realize that we're skating on thin ice whenever we're trying to interpret current events. I believe we do have a more sure word of prophecy. And it speaks of some things that I believe must happen before the coming of the Lord. And when I see these things happen, whether I am getting a daily newspaper or not, then I personally will begin to get expectantly excited about the coming of the Lord. And one of the things that we have not seen, that I believe we must see, is a fathering revival. I didn't say fathering a revival, but a revival of fathering. Open your Bibles to Malachi 4. I am not a long-winded preacher as a rule. Brother Osteen taught me, blessed are the short-winded, they will be heard from again. But I do want to obey God tonight and communicate to you what I believe the burden of the Lord is. And I say that with all gravity, for Jeremiah tells us that God is very upset when we say we have the burden of the Lord and we don't have it. He said, it's better if you just go ahead and speak. But when you say you have the burden of the Lord, and I believe tonight I have the burden of the Lord, and I say that with a great deal of seriousness because I understand what I'm saying. The last two verses of the Old Testament, behold, I will send you Elijah the prophet before the coming of the great and dreadful day of the Lord. And here is the mark of his ministry. He shall turn the heart of the fathers to the children, and the heart of the children to their fathers, lest I come and smite the earth with a curse. How many of you are glad for the New Testament? If it weren't for the New Testament, the last word of God to us would be curse. But there is a New Testament. Thank God. Just before I came over here tonight, I'm not fond of the Living Bible, but I read this verse out of the Living Bible at the house, and I copied it down, and it says this: I will send you another prophet like Elijah before the great and dreadful judgment day of God. His preaching will bring fathers and children together again to be of one mind and one heart. That's the promise of the Lord. Before he comes, we will see a restoration of fathering and a reuniting of divine order between fathers and children. Now, someone says, but that's John the Baptist. I love it when the New Testament provides a commentary on the Old Testament. Because we can be sure that it's right, especially if the commentator is Jesus. And in Matthew 17, he comments on that passage of Scripture, which was well known to the Jews. And after they had left the Mount of Transfiguration, the disciples were sure they were about to experience the judgment day of the Lord. As they saw Jesus in his glory, they were sure the end had come. And they asked him, beginning with verse 10, why then, say the scribes, Elijah must first come? See, they've just seen him in the Transfiguration. They said, boy, it's all over. If it's about all over, why have we not seen Elijah? That was the question. Are you with me in Matthew 17, verse 10? That's the context. The context is the Mount of Transfiguration. And Jesus answered them in verse 11, and he said, Elijah truly shall first come and restore all things. Now, is that past, present, or future tense in the verbs there? I beg your pardon? It's not a trick question. Future. I would write in my Bible, if I were you, future. I've written next to verse 11 in my Bible at home, future. Elijah truly shall first come and restore all things. He says, you haven't seen it yet. But he has a further comment in verse 12. He says, but I say unto you that he's come already. Now, is that past, present, or future? Past. And they knew him not, but they did to him whatever they wanted. Likewise shall also the Son of Man suffer of them. Then, verse 13, the disciples understood that he spoke to them of John the Baptist. Now, I submit to you that verse 12 was about John the Baptist, but not verse 11. In other words, Jesus, when he's referring to the Malachi prophecy, says, it shall truly happen. But I say to you, there's already been a fulfillment. You see, there's two comings of the Lord. And there's two Elijah ministries. John the Baptist had come and had already prepared the way for Jesus' first coming. But here he's teaching them that does not do away with a future fulfillment before my coming again. And you can know that it's different than John's ministry for several reasons. The first one being in verse 11, the future fulfillment says he will restore all things. Now, did John the Baptist restore all things? No. But there is an Elijah coming who will. Now, when you see the phrase, restore all things, it ought to ring a bell. For Acts 3 tells us that Jesus Christ is retained in the heavenlies until the times of the restoration of what? All things. He's not coming until all
things are restored. And now we can understand that all things are going to be restored partially through a ministry of this Elijah, whoever that is. Are you with me? Now, if you've got that, then we need to understand something about Elijah. For there have been great men of God in history who've gone off the deep end because they heard a voice that said inside, "You're Elijah." And they were thinking it was some kind of a reincarnation, or they were the individual who was going to restore. And there were even some Jews at the time who were expecting a reincarnated Elijah before Messiah would come. But that was not what God intended. If you'll look back with me at Luke chapter 1, Luke 1, we've got two more scriptures, then we're going to rest a while. But this is important foundation. Luke 1, verse 13, the father of John the Baptist receives a visit from the angel. And in Luke 1, beginning with verse 13, the angel said, "Fear not, Zacharias, thy prayer is heard. Thy wife Elizabeth shall bear thee a son, and you shall call his name John. And you shall have joy and gladness, and many shall rejoice at his birth. For he shall be great in the sight of the Lord. He shall drink neither wine nor strong drink, and he shall be filled with the Holy Ghost." Hallelujah, Pentecostal. Before the day of Pentecost. "Filled with the Holy Ghost, even from his mother's womb. And many of the children of Israel shall he turn to the Lord their God. And he shall go before the Messiah," what? "In the spirit and the power of Elijah, to turn the hearts of the fathers to the children," and he adds something, "and the disobedient to the wisdom of the just, to make ready a people prepared for the Lord." So he was telling Zacharias, your son will fulfill the Malachi prophecy. But he's not a reincarnated Elijah. He is a prophet who comes in the spirit and the power of Elijah. Not Elijah, but one who comes in the spirit and the power of Elijah. And so then Jesus, now what he says really all comes together, for we do understand that in John's ministry there was that fulfillment of his first coming, John preparing the way of the Messiah who would come. Now, when you think about this further fulfillment, who are we talking about? And by the way, one more scripture. I told you one more here quickly. John 1. John 1, verse 19. This is the record of John when the Jews sent priests and Levites, I'm in John 1, 19, from Jerusalem and asking, "Who are you? What name is on your chariot license?" And he admitted, he denied not, "I'm not the Christ." And they asked him, "Well, then who are you? Are you Elijah?" And he said, "I am not." But in Matthew 17, Jesus said he was. The people said, "Are you Elijah?" He said, "No, I'm not him." But Jesus said that's who he was. That tells me that you can be fulfilling prophecy and have no earthly idea you're doing it. And tells me that there could be an Elijah company of people on the earth right now beginning to fulfill the ministry of restoration of the fathers and children's, and they might not even know that's what they're doing. But the mark of that ministry will be very plain. There will be, if I may paraphrase, a restoration of divine order. Because father-children relationships being restored means that this must happen at a time when they're not like they should be. And I believe that before Jesus comes, one of the sure signs we can look for will be an Elijah company, not just an individual. Because in the New Testament, everything is projected into a corporate expression. There are corporate Herods. There are corporate Elijahs. There are corporate expressions of Jesus and Antichrist and all the rest. They're just pictures. They're just patterns. And as the end of the age draws nearer, those types get fuller and fuller as they become more and more populated. And I believe that this prophecy will be fulfilled by a company of preachers. And the mark of their ministry will be wherever they go, wherever they preach, wherever their voice in the wilderness is heard, there will be marked by a coming together of the government and the kingdom of God and a restoration of authority and proper relationship in God's institutions. Amen. And God only has two institutions. He founded them both. One is in the natural, one is in the spiritual. The natural, of course, is the family unit. Mama, daddy, children. But the other is a spiritual corporate expression, the church of the living God. And I would not limit this prophecy to either one of those, for I believe you'll see an expression in both. There will be an impacting by this kind of ministry that will absolutely revolutionize and return to God's divine order, family and church. And if there's one mark, especially in America, it's the out of order confusion and the chaos that is in the families as well as in the church of Jesus Christ. I would not limit that God could not do a quick work, but I might as well be honest with you. I've really appreciated the honesty with which all the speakers have ministered in this place, which tells me there's liberty here. Spirit of the Lord, it's time for us to take our masks off and just deliver the word of the Lord and not be afraid if we're really God's men to say what we feel. And in all honesty, I can say, truthfully, I believe the Lord is coming soon, but I'd have to define soon. And all the while hoping I'm wrong. I'd love it if these boys had been right about 88. But I didn't think they were. I told our church one of us is a false prophet. I went that far. But I don't blame people who are just off. But I tell you, I'm just weary of how the body is being hurt. I'm just weary of it. Because pastors have to come along behind and pick up the pieces. Well, in the home and in the church, you know, all of this really fits. Because if you go back to the Old Testament, the glory of the Lord never filled the house of the Lord until everything in the temple of the Lord was set in order. I have the greatest, loveliest, neatest wife. She's beautiful, and I'm still nuts about her. I went nuts about her the first time I laid eyes on her, and she walks across the room, and I'm still nuts about her. That's 24 years. And it's not fading. It's getting better.
Praise the Lord.
But she will not show me her glory until her house is straight. She keeps our house. I'm going to tell you something. Now, we have a few too many towels you can't wipe your hands on, for my liking.
few too many dishes, you can't put anything in because they're for little rose petals or whatever that stuff is. I don't know what it is. Too many things we have that you looks like you're supposed to touch, but you can't touch. But I endure that because I like the house in order. And she keeps the house in order. She doesn't rest, and she will not go up and freshen herself up and do herself up real pretty until she's done her work. Then the glory shows up. When you read the book of Exodus, I love it the way it says, and Moses finished the work. Next verse, and then the glory of the Lord filled the house. He hung the last thing, and when he had everything just right, the glory of the Lord filled the house. And if you stop to think about that, I don't believe God's glory was going to fill that house if he'd have had the altar of incense over there where the showbread was. And if he'd had the showbread over here. You know, people, we're too lazy as believers. We look at things, we say, oh, well, it's God, it's good enough. No! God's picky. You know, he's really got a problem. He thinks he's God. And he says, this is the way it's going to be. You check it out. When Solomon built the temple, the type of the permanent dwelling of God, when they finished it, when they got everything in place, when it was all set in order, boom, the glory of the Lord filled the temple. And the reason we're not seeing our homes filled with the glory of the Lord and our churches are not filled with the glory of the Lord is we don't have the divine order and the government of the Lord in place. The relationships are not right. And God's withholding his glory. And he says, dads and moms, get in order. Children, get in order. Pastors and elder body, get in order. Congregation, get in order. Deacon boards, get in order. You say, what's order? I haven't got time to preach all that. I don't know it. These other brothers know it probably better than I do, but I know we're not there. And I look around, and I'm telling you that we're going to have to see a preaching, a prophetic preaching ministry that will have a very highly recognizable impact on homes and churches before we're going to see the coming of the Lord.
Hallelujah.
The number one cause for criminal behavior, it's proven, poor father relationships. They did a test a while back in a penitentiary where they had thousands of inmates. And they went to all the prisoners and they said, the state will give you free Mother's Day and or Father's Day cards to send. All you have to do is request the cards. Out of thousands of prisoners, several hundred applied for Mother's Day cards. Not one prisoner, not one in thousands of those penitentiary people in the pen requested a Father's Day card. Think about it. Free card. That's a symptom of our nation. I'm related to Rick Godwin at the Eagle's Nest in San Antonio, and he wrote in an article, if you come for counseling with a deep emotional problem and I only have 5 minutes with you, he said, I'll ask you this question. Tell me about Dad. I could go through this place tonight, just get you alone one-on-one, and if you're screwed up emotionally, I could say, what was your relationship with Dad? And I bet I'd nail you. In my own experience, I've seen this happen. And I believe the lack of male authority figures is taking its toll in our country. You go to the kindergartens right on through high school. Most of the teachers are women. You go to the Sunday school classes of our churches. Most of it's women. And I thank God for it. We probably wouldn't have any teachers in places we didn't have the women. If anyone at all prays with the children at bedtime, it's mother. And when it's Bible study time, it's mom. Where are the men? Where are the men? Well, why not?
I want to tell you, I saw very little in Christianity that attracted me as a man. When I got saved, it was just when I got filled with the Spirit especially. Used to go to David Alsobrook's home Bible studies there, and Jim and Esther were there back in the early 70s, almost 20 years ago. And Jim and I'd be sitting there. Is this not the truth, Jim? Be me and you and 14 ladies. Jim and I used to look at each other like two little lost dogs. Just kind of blink. Thank God for the ladies. Where are the men? Where are the men? The word effeminate in 1 Corinthians 6:9 is used one other place in the New Testament. I wonder if you know where it is. You know, in 1 Corinthians 6, where Paul's listing a lot of the sins, he says effeminate. It's the same word. It's very similar to the word for homosexuality. Or it's used four times, actually, but the one I like, it's translated, it's all just describing the raiment of John the Baptist, where Jesus says, what did you go out to see in the wilderness? Did you go out to see a man clothed in soft raiment? The reason we don't see more men is we've got such wimp spirits in the church. Too many wimp men.
Amen. Preach it, brother.
Thank you for those 3 or 4 week amens. I don't care. I told God, I said, God, if you'll hear my voice, I'll tell you whatever you want me to say. And I've got a hold of a skunk or two tonight. And I may get sprayed, but here it goes. The church is being intimidated by the feminist movement. When all the time our women say, we don't want that. We want our men to be men. Amen. And I would be for the feminists if they were preaching what they say they preach. They say they preach equality, but they don't. They preach sameness. And that's the devilish lie. We ain't the same, or had you noticed? And it's more than our plumbing. There is a basic, fundamental difference between men and women beyond the physical. And any parent that's had a boy and a girl, like we were blessed with, you know there is a difference. Boys are different than girls. They're just different. Thank God. And Paul, in 1 Corinthians 11, writing to a goofy, fouled up, charismatic church at Corinth, was not afraid to write, I would have you know, brethren, the head of every man is Christ, the head of the woman is the man, and the head of Christ is God. And he didn't feel that he was demeaning Christ when he said, God is his head.
Amen. That's right.
You mean they're not equal? Yeah, they're equal, but they're not the same.
That's right.
There is a basic, fundamental difference in the expression between the Father, God, and the Son, the Lord Jesus Christ.
Amen.
Equal, but not the same. And in the divine order, Father, head of the Son. Jesus said at one place, the Father is greater than I. But you study that word out in the Greek.
This is the end of part A. Please play part B. Thank you. Our website is www.LakeHamiltonBibleCamp.com and LHBCOnline.com. There are hundreds of free audio files there. It's like going to Bible school at home.